It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and we are at Fenway Park. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful night for another blowout. Let's hope. At least according to Caleb Durbin, he predicted it when he was just on with us. We are here at the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and this number that I'm seeing up here is just awesome. $3.5 million already raised since yesterday. Let's go for a record. We are tracking in that direction. I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to be the one that ruins it, but that's why we need your donations. You can call us, and there's some great people we have here, volunteers, who are answering the phones, 877-738-1234, and jimmyfund.org is another place where you can donate. And it's been so awesome to be able to hear the stories of the people who are involved with the Jimmy Fund, people who have been helped by the Dana-Farber, and in this case, I read your story. This is a Rio Hirota. First of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And your doctor, it's the director for the Lowe Center for Thoracic Oncology, David Barbie. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
I read your story, and it almost seems personal because my wife was, you know, she had children about the same age when she had got leukemia, and I love your story. And can you kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, like when you first found out about your situation and what led you to the gym, to Dana-Farber?
So 2024, August, my daughter and I was going downtown, and then, you know, the Copley Mall, there's a staircase from T-stop, and then it's pretty steep.
It's pretty steep, yeah.
And I usually take stairs and never take elevator or escalator, and I would force my daughter to do it even when she was little. And then one day I just couldn't, like, I don't feel good. And it was so odd to me because I was always running, I was surf and really active with my kids and my husband, and so that night I called my PCP. I'm like, you know, come in, but you can't come in my office. You got to go urgent care. I was like, okay, just go in there and checked up. I literally thought, oh, maybe I have asthma or whatever. Like, you know, it's like some nonchalant my brain and like whatever.
Yeah.
And then go there in the morning, 8 o'clock, and older doctor, he was like, he looks at me and is like, why are you here? You look too healthy. Yeah. Why are you even here? It's like, supposedly my like chest feels a little tight, you know? And then he's like, well, let's do x-ray. And then he did it. And literally is like, you got to go emergency room now. I was like, I can't because I got to do my house stuff.
Yeah.
And I got to tell my kids.
Yeah.
Like, so he's like, okay, you go now. I'm like, yeah, I will go. And then I just go home and then I cleaning all kinds of stuff to get ready.
So you went
for
home first. And so while you're doing all that, because you're right, life doesn't stop. You're a mom. You've got all these things to do. So while you're doing all that, does it feel like you're almost on like a moving sidewalk while you're trying to process what's going on?
Yeah, that too. And like how much really like serious this thing is. Like I didn't even know. I'm literally like kind of in the dream, like we're feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, and I go home and I call my husband, Trav, and then like, hey, I think I have to go to emergency room. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
so that was that.
So you go to the emergency room, and what do they discover when you're there?
So I went BI first. Okay. So it's like, it was the from my PCP recommendation I went. And then it was so packed. All I can remember is like packed full people in the hallway. I'm in sitting in the hallway, just like, and then couple doctor comes and like, oh, you're in the chest pain. Oh, we will do CT, whatever. Like we did it and everything's done. And then goes, so I got to give you bad news. You have a cancer. Oh, it's like, what?
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, shock to shock.
Yeah.
And like, okay, but now I have to tell Trav, my husband, and like, okay, he's going to be shocked. So I was like, okay, you'll be okay. Like, we're in the doctor, you know, it's the emergency room. We will be fine.
Oh, man.
So that was that.
Okay. So at what point do you end up finding your way to Dana-Farber?
So we're NBI and then looking for second opinion, basically. And then my friend had knew someone in Dana-Farber. And then we just kind of like, I think you should make an appointment. Okay, I will make an appointment. We made it. And then a week later, I met Dr. Barbie. We're lucky. I mean, I'm lucky. Lucky to have cancer and lucky to have Dr. Barbie come and rescue me. So that was great. So
Dr. Barbie, when you first met Rio, like what, you know, it's, she seems young, she seems healthy, you know, she comes in and this is somebody who has a family. How do you toe that line between telling them this is serious, this is something that we can deal with, but also having a heart and understanding what she's going through?
Very challenging. Especially patients, you know, like Rio. And I think, unfortunately, you know, historically we think of lung cancer as a disease of smoking and elderly patients. However, Rio's never smoked. And the fortunate thing about that is when you've never smoked, actually we can find gene mutations in the lung cancer that are responsible. So while this was a very serious situation, we had a lot of hope that we might actually find something that we could actually give her a pill for that could work right away.
I'm curious, the RET fusion, is that what Rio, how common is that and how does that impact the treatment for someone like Rio?
So there were a number of genes that were discovered. The first one was called EGFR, another one called ALK, which is another fusion gene. This was actually discovered in 2012, actually in Boston, a collaboration of Foundation Medicine and Dana-Farber, also in Japan and in Korea. And the impact is it's actually quite rare. It's less than 1% of non-small cell lung cancer actually has this fusion. But it's a testament that to what's called precision oncology, that you find what's the driver of the cancer and then you match a pill. The other fortunate thing was when it first was discovered, the RET inhibitors, the pills, were not very good. So patients would respond, but not for very long. And fortunately, there have been next generation RET, so-called RET TKIs or RET inhibitors, and that's what she's been on and had a really miraculous response.
And you're back to your active ways? Are you surfing again? Or?
Yeah.
Where do you surf? Where do you surf on the Charles? Here?
Anywhere. Winthrop. Okay. New Hampshire or Rhode Island, any way.
Left foot forward, right foot forward?
I'm a legger, so.
Okay, all right. Very good.
Yeah, left side.
All right, well, after we get out, I'd like to hear where you go. I need a longboard because I'm too big for a shorty.
Fun.
Those are fun, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Can I ask you about that, too? Because, you know, as somebody who is athletic and you have to go through treatment like that, were you, when you did your first big event, like it's not, because it sounds like you did the Pan Mash Challenge and things like that, did it mean more to you than just, I am going to do this to raise money? Did it mean more that you got out of this treatment and you wanted to prove something to yourself by doing this? Or what did it mean?
I think that, and same time, I can still be alive.
Yes.
No more like human being.
Yes.
Not so much title is cancer patient, like, you know, feels like it's not that, like, I can live myself, like, live in own world, you know, so with my kids, and kids can look at me, it's like, oh, mom doesn't feel good, you know, not like that, I can be always me.
Tell me about crossing the finish line.
Oh, that was good. I mean, like, PMC, I never done it. And then I'm like, okay, I will do it. And I was always mountain biker. I never rode road bikes. So that was a little bit like learning skills. So.
Yeah.
But Dr. Burby said he's going to do it. And I'm like, okay, I think I should do it.
Is it your first, time?
No, I've done it for quite a while.
Because if anyone can guilt you into doing it, you know, it's somebody who's gone through what she went through. Absolutely.
Dr. Barbie, are there new advancements and anything on the horizon when it comes to research and fighting this disease?
Yeah, I think the challenge with these targeted therapies is they work for a period of time, but then the cancer can figure out how to get around them after a period of time. So there are new targeted therapies to target this resistance. One of the things we're quite excited about is a gene that gets deleted called MTAP. And so we have clinical trials of drugs that selectively target that. So Rio's tumor also has that. And so that provides another pill option for her.
Rio, can I ask you about the like, it's different when you have just a regular doctor and you go in and you visit and you leave and you come back. And when you have someone like Dr. Barbie, who we've heard from so many different patients that the relationship between patient and doctor with Dana-Farber is so much different than anywhere else. Can you kind of go into what Dr. Barbie has meant to you outside of just being the person who's helping you get healthy?
He's a wonderful doctor, but at the same time, I have my husband. He's like always like looking for new trial, whatever. Like he's a great advocate to me, and I don't do any of that, which is he took over that responsibility. He always contact with the Dr. Barbie, and I kind of feel bad, but it's like, same time. But I mean, like Dana-Farber, every time I go in there, I feel it's like you don't have to explain to be there, because everybody, certain cancer there, and then to be treated there. So it's nice to be in there, and at the same time, doctors and nurses, everybody is always so sweet and caring. So
I can see that being a thing, Doc, where families come to you, they're going to do their research. They want to, you know, because for obvious reasons, what's that like? I mean, some stuff you know, but then some things you're probably
like from nutjob.org, you know, somebody found something. It's like, I think that this weird food that you can only get in like Africa is going to help.
That's gotta, I'm sure that's happened to you before. And how do you deal with that?
I mean, I think there's two levels. One, you know, there are the alternative approaches, which, you know, I am a supporter of, but you know, there has to be evidence that they're actually real. But I think in terms of the clinical trials though, I mean, I think Rio stated, you know, her husband Travis was just incredible, actually. Because, you know, the problem with clinical trials are that there aren't always spots, and so, you know, having to hunt them down. And so yes, he did,
he was crazy,
text me a lot back and forth, but then we ultimately found a wonderful clinical trial. So I think the advocacy is just really important.
That's awesome.
Well, that's another thing that makes Dana-Farber so special, is the access to a lot of these drugs and these tests, the drugs that are being tested and aren't approved in many places yet, that I know one saved my wife's life. So, I mean, that's the great thing about Dana-Farber. And I've said it before that if you are going to get cancer, this is Boston is the place you want to do it, because you have the great Dana-Farber right in our backyard. Right. Rio, your story's awesome. Thank you for sharing it, because you know, the people listening hear that, and you know, they know where this money's going. And and right now they just changed the number. We're almost at $3.6 million, which is just awesome. Let's keep it going. You can donate 877-738-1234 and jimmyfund.org. Rio Hirota and Dr. David Barbie, thank you so much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we will be right back in 2 minutes. It is Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, and we are live at Fenway Park. The sun is out. Beautiful day, as I said, for another blowout. That would be nice. And we are at the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, WEEI, Nessun Together. And we have raised so far almost $3.6 million. What a great number. Let's keep it going. Obviously, throughout the end of the day, let's see. We're on track. We're on track. I don't want to jinx anything, but we're on track to possibly set a record. Let's hope.
But we need help. Well, we need some push.
Yes. If you are listening and you are somebody who wants your money to go to the best possible place that it can go, this is it. And the inspirational stories, and obviously the athletes who come by who have been helping firsthand, it's been great to hear. So if you want to donate, 877-738-1234 or jimmyfund.org. And on the phone with us right now, UMass hoops coach Frank Martin. We love having our local sports heroes on with us to help us kind of get through some of the questions we got. And Ken, I know this is a close personal buddy of yours.
Yeah, Frank and I go back to Northeastern 2000. He was the assistant coach there with Ron Eberhardt. I was calling the games, and Frank was the best. And you could tell he was a rising star. He would come on after every game, win or lose. They could lose by 50. He'd come on and talk. Went on to great success with Huggy Bear, with Cincinnati, Kansas State, and now it's 50 year at UMass, and they beat unbeaten Miami of Ohio last year, first year in the MAC, and he's just a great guy. You listen to Frank Martin talk for 2 minutes, you'll be inspired. And he's been kind enough to join us here on the telethon the last couple
of years.
Inspire
me, Frank. Inspire me.
Yeah, no pressure now.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing? All right?
We're good, man.
I'm good. Hey, Ken, what I'm happy you didn't say is that I grew up across the street from the Orange Bowl. And as a diehard Dolphins fan, I couldn't stand Ted Johnson because he'd always kick our ass. But
that's true. I forgot about Miami past.
But as a fan of football, the utmost respect for him, man. He played the game the way it needed to be played.
Coach, you just made my day with that. It's an honor to kick the ass of your favorite team growing up. That's cool. I did not know that before, and now that I know that, I'm an even bigger fan. So thank you, Coach, for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Frank, hey, by the way, big shout out to you guys, man. What you guys do. I learned about the Jimmy Fund when I was at Northeastern, and I was a broke assistant coach. Ken, as you were a broke announcer of the games.
Yep, still. And
I always heard about it. I didn't understand the details of it. And because of the how lucky I am, the journey I've been on, now being back in Massachusetts and fully understanding the Jimmy Fund, big shout out to all you guys, everyone that's donated. Any UMass person that's listening, let's get us over that $5 million mark. I know that's the number that everyone's trying to get past this year.
Yeah, and how are the vibes out the Springfield area and out at UMass? Frank, you guys had a big win in the tournament last year, and how are things looking this year?
Doing great, Ken. I appreciate you asking. I'm excited, man. It's the first time since I've been here where in the summer I'm saying, okay, we got dudes. Now we got dudes, and we got a chance to win. We got our point guard back. He's really, really good. Anytime your point guard comes back, you got a chance to have a good team. And, you know, in today's day and age with the player movement, it is what it is. I'm not complaining. It's kind of predicting what you have is difficult because you're going through it with guys for the first time. So you don't know how they handle things. But I'm ecstatic, man. We return 8 guys. It's the most players I've had back in 6 years. So it gives me a sense of know what I got, the kind of dudes I got in the locker room that can help these new guys understand how we try to do things. And we've had a great summer, and I'm really excited, man, really, really excited. It's about time UMass basketball. They brought me here to fix this program. It's a complicated moment right now in college sports, but I'm super excited because I think we finally got the knob turned in the right direction here, and I can't wait for the year to start to get after it and get these guys ready to go.
Coach, how has NIL changed the game from your side of things?
See, the money should have been introduced a long time ago. I was just in Ohio yesterday with Coach Huggins and a bunch of his former assistants. We all got together, spent some time with him, and one of his former players, Corey Blunt, was there. And we were talking about that. Corey's a 15-year NBA guy. And you know, when guys come in and sacrifice their bodies to generate so much revenue for these schools, the fact that nobody ever wanted to share the money with them was wrong. I've been an advocate that needed to change a long time ago. I'm glad it finally changed. The problem is not the money. The problem is the 8-month imaginary contracts and young people chasing money. That's the problem. Like one of the things that I've always been a big proponent of, which we've set school record here at UMass, we did it at South Carolina, we did it at K-State, was community service. Teaching these young athletes as they go through their journey how to give back. So when they become successful people, whether it's in the sport that they play or in the business world, they're so used to giving back that they continue to do it. So here, you got the Jimmy Fund. You know, just understanding how to give back, man, to give of your time to make other people's lives better as you go through your journey. And that's one of the things that we've lost while the player movement, because everyone's chasing money. And it's unfortunate that people at a young age are being pressured by adults for them to make money so the adults live better. That's not the way it should work. It should be the other way around, you know, but it's the moment we're in, and we got to figure it out.
Well, Ted told a story yesterday about a Bill Parcells quote that he loves, that he's not changing. You got to change.
That was
to paraphrase,
that was,
right?
Yeah, that was the quote, Coach. I mean, this is the perfect guy to kind of ask this question to.
Yeah.
Coach Parcells said to me, Frank, that, you know, look, boys, I'm not changing for you. It's your job to change for me.
And I'm just, I love that quote.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm just curious if you feel similarly, and you know, is it, you know, because today's athlete has changed from when I was playing to now, and it's got to be hard to maybe say that same thing in today's world with today's athletes. How do you kind of What do you think of that quote? And how do you coach? Do you live by the similar standard?
Yeah, I one of the greatest moments of my life was I was spending a day with the Dolphins, and I was they were showing me around the facility, and I hear, "Frank, get your big ass in here!" And I walked in. It was Coach Parcells. And I spent an hour and a half with the guy, and I'd never met him before. And I was one of his biggest fans. But yeah, Matt Painter, the coach of Purdue, has a great saying: is freshmen come in and they think that we become them, and as they become seniors, they realize that they become us. And and we've lost that in college athletics. It's I shouldn't say we've lost it. We've got to reinvent how to teach that in an 8-month, 9-month period rather than a 4-year period. And that's the journey, you know, but like I tell my children that are now out of my home, you know, I'm not changing how I run my house to make you happy. Learn the lessons here. And when you got your own home, then you run it the way you want to. And now they're trying to figure out how to start paying bills, which they have no idea how to do. So.
I love it.
Well, Coach Frank, I'm glad your long suffering of Ted Johnson kicking the ass of your favorite team is now over. That is good. And on the other side, let's hope that this year is a banner year for UMass Hoops. We're all rooting for you, Coach.
Pulling for you, Coach.
Appreciate it. I'm telling you, man, I think we finally got a really good team, and I can't wait to put the team on the court. And EEI obviously plays our game, so thank you for having me, and hopefully we cross paths sometime soon.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling in, Coach. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You can donate right now, 877-738-1234, or go to jimmyfund.org. You can text any amount to K Cancer. It's K Cancer, you write in there, to 56512. We are at about $3.6 million. Let's keep it going, baby, and we'll be right back. And we are live at Fenway Park. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you and your amazing donations. I'm looking at this board right now. We are at $3.6 million for the Jimmy Fund, Dana-Farber. It is just awesome to see. And hopefully we can get more going here. If you want to donate to the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, 877-738-1234. You can call and do it by phone or online at jimmyfund.org. And one of the ways we are able to raise so much money is that the people get to hear exactly where it's going. And we have with us right now the beautiful Evie, who's here, 3 years old.
Hi, Evie.
How are you doing?
Oh, she's got a great wave.
She does have a great wave. And her mother, Kelly, joins us as well. And I'm sorry, Kelly?
Charlotte.
How you doing, Charlotte?
Hi, Charlotte.
Nice to see you. Mom, can you kind of tell us a little bit about Evie? And, you know, other than her just being awesome and wiggly and everything right now on your lap, can you kind of tell us about her journey and what led you to the Jimmy Fund?
So Evie is the youngest of 5 siblings. Her 3 older siblings play school soccer, and she's like, "I'm tired, Mom. I can't keep walking. I can't keep going to these games." And I was like, "You gotta suck it up. You know, we've got lots more to go." And we ended up taking her in for a blood test, and she was diagnosed with B-cell ALL leukemia. Mm-hmm. So we started out treatment at our local hospital, and she contracted a bacterial infection about a week after we were discharged. Okay. And she ended up needing a wound vac for a month. So we transferred to Boston Children's Hospital for the wound care, and we were so impressed with Boston Children's that we ended up moving our care to Dana-Farber, the Jimmy Fund. And I'll just say, so she's come with us to a couple of times for the appointments, and like, so she'll have treatments like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it'll be a Wednesday, and she was like, "Can we come back tomorrow, Mom? Can we come back tomorrow?" It's just an amazing place to be.
And you're coming a long way, right? This is not a short trip for you. Yeah,
no, so we live in near Albany, New York. We, for a couple of, 2 of her cycles, we did rent places here just so we could be close because she does have such frequent treatments. Other than that, we just have stayed, like, we have family, friends, hotels, just whatever we can sort of do. And I've done, I mean, your kids play sports, you do 3 hours there and back in a day.
So that's a good way to put it in perspective.
Right.
Because I think, at least I know Ted and I have done that. It's driven all over, you know, New England.
Yeah.
But for something as great as Dana-Farber, I mean, it's true. It's like, I mean, you hear stories of people who drive from the longest distances because it's just that special of a place.
That special of a place. Every time that I meet with a nurse, I mean, you get to know them after a certain amount of time. but they know you.
Yeah.
They've reviewed your chart. They've gotten to know you, like your background. So when they come and talk to you, they set the tone and like this rapport that makes it so easy and so comfortable.
Yeah.
One of the parts of her treatment is like a shot, like a 3 times a week. She's got to get a shot in her leg.
Yeah.
And it just was causing tremendous anxiety for her. And what the nurses were so well prepared. They would prep everything before we arrived. So we would just kind of scooch back, get the shot, you know, so that the anxiety, you know, the dread is worse than the deed. It just really minimized that.
Charlotte, what are some of the things that you saw that are like, or that made it kind of fun when you would go and you'd visit and see Evie doing that?
When I came in today, well, the doctors didn't let me go in the room, but I always think that Evie's very brave.
Oh, that's so brave. She is brave. But you're brave too, because you're there right by her side. That is so important. When you go in there, do you ever give her any advice? Any say anything to make her feel good when she goes in there?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you say to Evie?
You got this, Evie.
You got it. Oh, I love that.
That is just awesome.
That is awesome.
And Mom, how does that feel to know that there's that much support?
Much support. All the siblings, I think, are in her background, our community. I mean, when you have the nurses and the doctors at Dana-Farber, I can't describe it. If you've ever really felt like heard or understood, it's like a weight's been lifted off your shoulder.
Yeah.
When someone can really relate with what you're going through.
Yeah.
They get it.
They get it.
Yeah.
They get it. And it's not like baloney. You know, they're not sugarcoating things. They get it. It's hard. It's ugly.
Yeah.
You know, they've been through this, what you're doing and your emotions. And she had a terrible allergic reaction once. And like, we were disasters and they were just like, they're counseling us on top of them. And they have also, in addition to just all of the arts and crafts that I throw away as soon as we make them. The slime. I can't even tell you.
We've heard about the slime.
There's a full-time slime guy. Is that right?
They always find creative ways to use slime. But just like they have like support groups for siblings, for parents, you know, for younger siblings, for older siblings. It's just, I think like from an emotional perspective, she's 3 years old. She's not really aware. Like she knows she's got cancer, but a lot of it is sort of over her head.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, she's.
Oh, it's all over. She sees herself on TV.
TV? But I think that they do just such a good job in having that like mind over matter. Yeah. It just has aided in her treatment. Like she's got a lot of energy. She's got a positive attitude. So, and I attribute that really to them.
So, Charlotte, what do you two like to do for fun together? What do you like to do with Evie together?
We go in the room where there's like lots of toys, and we like to play with them.
Oh yeah, what kind of toys do you like? What's your favorites?
Slime.
Oh, slime's good. What else do you like?
We like the Peppa Pig toys they have there.
Oh,
the school toys. The school toys, right?
That's right. Yep, yep. That's so. You know what? Are the nurses and people there? Are they super nice to you when you go in there?
Yes.
Okay, like, what do you think about those nurses? Like, what do they do to make you guys have a good time?
They play with us.
They do. They get down and play with you. That's awesome.
How cool is that? And you know what? That doesn't happen in a lot of hospitals.
It's not normal.
You go to a you shake your head like you know. Absolutely. That's a special place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. So, do you like seeing Evie get treated there? Would you want her to get treated anywhere else?
No.
That's a smart girl, that girl.
So what would you say? You're a star, by the way, Charlotte. What would you say to the people who are listening right now who want to donate money? And what would you say to them to get them to donate to the Jimmy Fund where Evie gets treated?
It's a very good place.
Awesome. Well, that's you know what? You couldn't have said it any better, Charlotte. Well, Charlotte, Evie, you know, Evie, I'm glad. Boy, she is just like a
full energy, right?
Full energy. That's awesome. That is unbelievable. And
awesome.
Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for coming
us.
In and telling
thank
your story.
You guys, yeah.
And
thank
if you want to donate, because, man, it doesn't get any better than this. You guys are just, I mean, when you just, it's so cool to hear that there is a place where someone is getting cancer treatment that they actually enjoy going to.
They can't wait to go.
And they can't wait to go.
That's unbelievable. And that is so rare. And that's the special sauce that the Dana-Farber and Jimmy Fund people have figured out. Mm-hmm. And if you want to donate, 877-738-1234 or online at jimmyfund.org. And you can text to give any amount. K-Cancer to 56512. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. We'll be right back.
All right, thanks.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson live from Fenway at the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, where I just saw them go up to the board, raise the dollar amount a little bit over there. We're at
$3,633,129. And every one of those dollars means something. It doesn't matter what you give. We will take it. The Dana-Farber and Jimmy Fund patients that we have had on here tell such a great story. I mean, if I don't know how you can listen to it and not think that this is one of the best places to donate your money. And you can do it here by either calling us at 877-738-1234 or online at jimmyfund.org. Also, you can text any amount, K-Cancer, to 56512. And I love stories like this as well. We have Carla McCarron on with us from the First Responders Credit Union. She's the chief marketing officer. And she also is a breast cancer survivor who got treatment at Dana-Farber as well. So what a perfect person to come on here and talk to us, not only about what you guys are doing over with the First Responders Credit Union, but the treatment that you've got. First of all, thanks for coming on the show with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So can you first tell us a little bit about your treatment at Dana-Farber and what led you there and your experience with the doctors and the people over there?
So this was about 5.5 years ago. My primary care, she thought something seemed odd. So she sent me right down to Dana-Farber, and within 2 days I was diagnosed. And from that point until now, I can't believe the treatment that I've had there. I'm a survivor, you know, I'm good, but they follow up and they check you out for a long time afterwards, and I can't say enough for everybody there. Yeah. From top to bottom, you can't beat the care that you get there.
Can you talk about that? Because, you know, the one thing that we're hearing from all of these different patients at Dana-Farber is the care doesn't stop when they say, hey, you're in remission, or hey, it's not. It continues, because that's not the end of it. As far as you have questions, there's things that you want to ask. The care doesn't stop when you have gotten to the other side of it, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I had no idea when you get into the maintenance portion after, you know, treatment, that I would still have my same oncologist team. I would still, you know, see them in the same offices. And the beauty of things is when you go in, you have a checkup, they do some testing, make sure things are still okay. It's your actual oncologist who calls you.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going in your portal and trying to figure out what it says.
That's a great way to put it, because we've all done that before, where we're just like, I've taken stuff in the portal before and copied it and put it in ChatGPT and said, what does this mean? You know, but that's not like that at Dana-Farber. You always have someone who seems to speak in the language that we can all understand, correct?
Exactly. And it's fast. It's, you know, you could think, oh, they call you, but is it within a time frame? It's always immediate. So once those results are there, you're getting a call.
Yeah.
And that's where I can't say enough. You know, when I was a patient going through my treatment, I was one of those crazy people that I was in the infusion clinic, and I would sit there and I'd be like, wow, these poor people. I'm like, oh, I'm one of them. But that's how comfortable they made me feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Carl, just maybe a lot of people might not know this, just the exposure the firefighters have to what they do in their jobs every day, what makes them, you know, more susceptible to maybe getting cancer than the regular person. Just talk about that and some of the members in your credit union that have, you know, gotten cancer and just how they deal with that.
So aside from the stress that would come with the job is the carcinogens, you know, all the things that are probably burning in that building. And, you know, they're going in and they're breathing it in. And if they don't have that proper equipment, then they're exposed. And, you know, the Boston Fire Cancer Foundation has put out statistics that every 3 weeks, a Boston firefighter is diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, other stats show that firefighters are 14% more likely to get an occupational cancer. So it's very, very important for them to get early detection. And I know through Dana-Farber and the Direct Connect program and the Centers for Early Interception and Detection, they're doing their work to make it happen even faster and faster. So the credit union, we not only do financial services, we feel like we're part of that first responder's life, and it's our responsibility to help them get through the work that they do, help their families. So for probably over 10 years now, the credit union has donated at least $500,000 towards those programming to help them get detected.
The early detection thing.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we had a firefighter on yesterday, and that's how he found out.
Yeah.
Was one of those early detection things and I guess it's set up, like, is there like a day that they do it where everyone comes in, or how does that work?
So for us, it's been, we've donated to the Boston Fire Relief Fund, and they set them up.
Yeah.
We also donate to the Boston Police, and they do testing on their side as well. Some of it's more medical, but there is cancer testing with their work, too.
Yeah.
And they set up, they have these big mobile units that come in. It's a blood test. I don't think it's hard on them. I think it's, you know, just a blood test.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal.
It legit saves lives.
Yeah.
I know that's, you know, the money that your credit union has put out there we just talked to a firefighter. If he hadn't gotten that early detection, you know, he even said, who knows where I would have been. They were able to find it in time to save him. But, you know, what you were doing is saving lives.
Right. And, you know, that's why it made it a seamless fit for us to work with the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. This is multiple years now, I believe, the credit union has donated. I haven't been here all those years, but it just makes sense because we need these guys to stay out there. We want them to live to retirement and be with their families after they've given so much in their career.
Society owes it to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's good that they are now, between you guys and Dana-Farber, getting the best care and the best type of heads up on any kind of cancer that could be, you know, in their system early. That way they can deal with it early.
Yeah.
So great. So what do you have? Like, you know, obviously this is a great relationship between, it's really a perfect relationship between the First Responders Credit Union and Dana-Farber. And this is obviously something that you want to continue for the ongoing days, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got a perfect night to celebrate. You got a posse here from First Responders for the game tonight.
Oh, awesome. Excellent. And hopefully there'll be another blowout tonight, which would be nice.
Always good, right?
Always, always good. Well, thank you so much for coming by and telling your story and also talking a little bit about the First Responders Credit Union. Carla, thank you so much.
Thanks, Carla.
For joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, that's great. Stories like yours are what gets that number up to where it is right now. 777-738-1234 online at jimmyfund.org. You can text to give any amount. Write K-Cancer to 56512. Carla, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
We've got more great stories, and we got some surprise guests. We got a really cool phone call we have to talk about here in just a moment. People all around New England are doing what they can to donate this money, and let's get that number up. Maybe we'll set ourselves a record today. So once again, you can donate at 877-738-1234. We'll be back in 2 minutes.